celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue that we're speaking on today is political prisoners. We're watching that take place by the, I call it the loose likes lost left. It's the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Party, known as the Democrats in the United States of America. They've already placed a person in jail that's running for governor of Michigan simply because he was on the grounds of the Capitol on January the 6th. No evidence that he entered the building, no evidence that he was the cause of any rioting, but simply because he was there on that day. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with a lady that's running for Florida House of Representatives, District 13, La Sierra Masselin. La Sierra is a conservative Christian candidate, and I am highly supportive of conservative Christian candidates that we need to put in office on a local, state, and national level in order to go back to where God would have us to be with the firm foundation of the Judeo-Christian values. La Sierra, again, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to read something from Ron DeSantis and see what your take is on this. He says, our country is currently facing a great threat. A new enemy has emerged from the shadows that seek to destroy and intimidate their way to a transformed state, a country that you and I would hardly recognize. This enemy is called radical, vigilante, woke mob that will steamroll anything and everyone in their way. Their blatant attacks on the American way of life are clear and intensifying. Stifling dissent, public shaming, rampant violence, and perverted visions of our history. A group that will literally tear down monuments and buildings, but perhaps even more sinister way, tear down the American spirit itself. They go after the family unit, parental rights, traditional morals, and the values, the church, and the faith-based education. Over the past few years, we've watched horrifyingly as this group has attempted to brainwash our children into thinking we can live in an evil, racist, irredeemable country. We listen to them deny science and data to exert political theater, all the while trampling over personal liberties enshrined in our Constitution. We saw them take to the streets for an entire summer, like outlaws, burning, looting, destroying everything in sight, while being told they were mostly peaceful and passionate. We watched big tech moguls in Silicon Valley be the arbiters of truth, deciding who gets to speak and who gets silenced through the digital public square. We've listened to the legacy media muffle legitimately verifiable news stories that didn't align with their preferred narrative, only to watch the truth trickle out months later at a more politically expedient time. He says, well, the time for listening and watching from the sidelines is over. This enemy has taken over the media, educational institutions, corporate boards, professional sports, foundations, and professional institutions. They have left no corner of our lives untouched. But all hope is not lost. We the people still have to say, we know the truth, you and I, about America and the country she is and can be. We must fight to defeat these false pretenses and premeditated narratives. Ron DeSantis says, I'm choosing to counter this enemy with faith, with reason, and with freedom. As governor of the free state of Florida, I have chosen to lead with a vision that builds America up rather than tearing it down. I've been waiting for the right time to get off the sidelines and fight. If you've been waiting for the right time to get off the sidelines and start fighting for the rights, you know we're given to, we know what we were have been given to man by God himself, and the time is now. Would you say amen to that? Would you agree with what DeSantis has said? And as an elected representative from District 13, stand to hold his arms up to carry out what he's just outlined in his latest newsletter?
Yes, I actually love what he said. But one of the things I would correct is simply that it's not a new enemy. This enemy has always been here. He's always been seeking and going throughout the world, seeking who he can devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What has happened is the church, and I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about the people that name the name of Christ. They say that they love God. They say they know who God is. We have become jelly-backed Christians where we have settled and we have allowed the gateway of the enemy to come in. It is our fault. We have become so complacent and just so satisfied with staying at home, listening to a little encouraging message on the radio and going about our daily lives instead of being in prayer and fasting. Okay. We are not baptizing the Holy Spirit, and the enemy is steadily doing what he wants to do. And we have allowed. Now, the word of God simply says, don't leave a crack or a gap for the enemy to come in. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he knows his plan is very clear to us. And we keep thinking that, oh, all we have to do is just pray about a situation and the Lord is going to take care of itself. But what we don't understand is that we are the body of Christ. The only way the Lord moves on the earth is through his people. That's it. It's not just about just saying a simple prayer and reciting something and then just watching the Lord do it. He's going to do it through us. And that's why I am running for office, because if it's going to get done, he's going to use his remnant. He's going to use the people of God. And so although I appreciate that stance and you know, what DeSantis is attempting to do, we need more like him. He cannot accomplish it all. He cannot cover it all by himself. We need the body of Christ to wake up, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and not be believing various different gospels, if you will, because we know that there are false prophets out there. We know that there are people that are claiming that they're pastors, and they're not even saved. They don't even know, you know, enough to even, you know, lead someone into salvation. But we as the people need to recognize our authority, our God-given authority, the power that the Lord has given us, and we need to walk in dominion and get the job done.
Amen. As I've heard some say, and I've used it kind of as a little point, just as you've said, we need to put feet on our prayers. We need to stop being silent and sitting in the closet waiting for someone else to do it. We need to put feet on our prayers. And part of that is holding the arms up of our candidates, as yourself, as you're running for office, pray for them, and to get out and knock on doors and find others that will assist in doing so. La Sierra, would you commit to introducing a heartbeat bill? We've talked about it before, but some of our listeners may not have heard that statement. What is the heartbeat bill? What is it for? What does it do? And would you stand for the introduction of a heartbeat bill when you go into the House?
Yes, absolutely. So the heartbeat bill is simply that of when they're discussing when a baby is legitimate, I guess, considered a life. And so I'm always going to stick with the word. If you ever met me, if you ever know me, ever have a conversation, life begins when the at conception for me.
Yes.
And that's basically what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. And that is what I'm going to present and appeal to those of them that I will be working alongside, making them well aware that we are the servers of the people. You all elect us, you put us in office. And what we're going to do is, in order to have a free republic and a good government and allow for our nation to remain blessed, we're not going to kill the innocent, such as the babies in the womb. We're not going to do that. Life begins at conception. The Lord sends life. We, a man and a woman, which we often know, some men and women, wife and husband, get together and they're not able to conceive. It is by the Lord's grace and mercy that he sends a child through a mom's womb. And so, therefore, that's where life begins. We're going to be sure that he is the one that's giving the gift and that we're allowing his gift and his blessing to come forth. So I will be completely in agreement with passing and being sure that every life that comes to a mom's womb will have the opportunity to live out their purpose.
Amen. Well, I know some in the House today and some that will also, I believe, be going back to the Florida House that will stand with you on that. I'm looking forward to with great anticipation of that being passed. Last year, we have a caller on the line. Lily, would you go over the question or comments, please?
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngler. And I'm so grateful for what you're doing, bringing things to our attention. It means a lot. You know, elections have consequence, and we have a tremendous responsibility, especially now. Happy for Lassiera. Happy to have her on your program again. And we are told that when the righteous is in charge, people are grateful, people are happy. But when the wicked has leadership, rulership, it is mourning and suffering. Well, I don't know if it can be, you know, it is so strongly demonstrated with what we are going through now as a culture because of leadership. So we, as believers, we need to vote our values, and it's very important to have understanding about our candidates who are running for office. We are grateful to Latsira that she's willing, as I said, to put shoes on her beliefs. Yes, to participate, to take up her the mantle and do something, make a contribution. We're happy for her that it takes courage, and as the Lord leads to make our contribution. So we are grateful for her. I'm happy for her stand as a believer. And we know that this is really the heart of our problem today, that we have rejected our God-given right and position, and that, as she said, that we were not to be giving even an inch to the enemy, give place to the devil. And before we see the consequence, to me, America has been toying with the enemy over the years, down through the years, and now we have reached a very sad situation now, that we really know that our deliverance is only in the Lord.
And absolutely. Lily, let me ask you a question. Let me get you to pause a moment and ask you a question.
Yes.
This is putting you on the spot.
Yes.
La Sierra needs those who's going to hold her hands up and arms up in prayer and also in voting. You can make the commitment, not to me, but to La Sierra. Are you planning on voting for her?
Yes, that was what I was coming to right now to. I am not sure. I did hear.
Are you planning on finding?
She's running as an independent, or she's running as a Republican candidate.
No party affiliation, but as a Christian conservative.
She's running as an independent. That is where I have a little question mark. I wonder why she may have made that choice, because I think she could be much more effective. This is my opinion. As running as a part of the Republican Party, she could make.
Put your thought on hold and let's ask La Sierra to respond to that. La Sierra, the question is from Lily. Why are you not running on the Republican ticket and just on a no-party affiliation? I've heard you explain that, but explain that to Lily so that she's comfortable out her vote and she can get others to vote.
Well, absolutely, Lily, and I appreciate the call and all of the encouraging words that you mentioned, and I appreciate your vote. The reason why I'm running this no party affiliation is because the area that I'm running in, it's for a couple of reasons, but primarily the area I'm running in is primarily blue, okay? And if they were to see an R by my name, these folks wouldn't give me the time of day to even conversate, okay? So when I'm having conversations with my in the community, they're not necessarily willing to come all the way to the right, if you will, but they're willing to come to the middle. And as a matter of fact, they've said to me, and I mean Democrat after Democrat, they're willing to say, you know what, running as no party affiliation is better than running as a Democrat or a Republican. They're willing to stand independently because I learned that they're fed up. They're tired of the empty promises. They're tired of the same old, same old, same old. They're tired of voting in skin color. And all such as that. So it's actually worked in my favor because my allegiance is only to the Lord and not to any party. It's actually very, very good that I run as this. And I believe the Lord, he is the one that orchestrated it. It wasn't actually the first thought that I had when I decided to file, but this was something that he has been ordering my steps and my stops. And that is why I'm running as no party affiliation, ma'am.
Very, very good. Lily, thank you so much for your question. Thank you for your dialogue and discussion.
One little point, Dr. Youngblood. I thank you for her explanation, and I am going to. She wouldn't have any problem getting my vote because I know a believer is a believer, and that make a lot of difference. I just think that she would be possibly more effective. But what I'm going to ask you briefly to do, Dr. Youngblood, is to give us a summary explanation, as I was missing some of her explanation, a summary explanation of why she decided to run independently.
All right, Lily, let me suggest something, because before the broadcast is over, we're going to ask La Sierra to give contact information again, and let me ask you to get directly in touch with her and be a part of the team assisting her and let her explain that further to you. But Lily, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, give you the question or comment, please.
Well, Sierra, that makes some rational sense. You know, at a local level and even at a state level, a third-party candidate, an independent candidate, a no-party affiliation candidate actually makes sense. Individuals on both sides, many Republicans have said, you know what, enough with the rhinos, I'm done. Many Democrats have said, enough with the liberalism, the socialism, I'm done. And that fits. I will say the only time in the past 200 years that a third-party candidate has won at a national level was Lincoln. Lincoln, think about that. The Republican Party was a third party at that time. You had Democrats, you had Whigs. The Republicans were the ones that changed things, moved outside the normal bands of influence. And I'll say this, and this is another word of compliment for you, La Sierra. If you think back to the great abolitionist Frederick Douglass, he was a former slave, and he once said that he prayed for freedom for 20 years but received no answer until he prayed with his legs. So today, you know, we're seeing folks in the Northeast, all these blue states and California, they're praying with their legs. They're leaving. And La Sierra, you are praying with your legs. You're engaging, and we're thankful for that today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for those comments, Greg. Thank you so much for joining the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. We're talking with La Sierra Masselin. She is the candidate for District 13 for the Florida House of Representatives. La Sierra, I believe that I know your answer, but I believe our listeners need to understand it. Are you a constitutional carry proponent?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I am totally in us keeping and bearing arms. That is a biblical principle as well as our constitutional right. Everyone has the ability to protect and, against all evils, including those of them that may come from the government. That is our rights, and I don't agree with the fact that they're trying to confiscate certain guns. I believe it's a setup. I believe that they're just trying to move in slowly but surely by trying to disengage and cause us to lose our rights slowly and surely. You know, and that brings me to the scripture that talks about how the enemy wishes to sift us as wheat, which means he slowly does a thing. It doesn't just happen overnight, but it's slowly sifting you, and that's what I see the government currently trying to do. They're trying to slowly take away our rights bit by bit. They're very patient, and they'll serve you an ideology that appears right, like the Bible talks about. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of that thing is going to be death. So that's what they're doing. They're putting out narratives and ideologies and situations that appear a certain way, but we have to be led by the Holy Ghost to understand what the bigger picture would lie and look like. And so I am so for us making sure that we, if they can have it, if the elitists and the progressive leftists can have it, we likewise should have it as well.
Yes. LaSierra, in connection with that, do you believe that with the constitutional carry as the law for the state, do you believe that can reduce any potential of mass shootings?
Well, the thing with the mass shootings is this. It was even from the beginning of time, and I'm talking about from the beginning of our nation, it was for us to absolutely be able to arm ourselves. And I mean, yes, talking from young and old, we were all supposed to be trained how to use, how to take apart the gun, you know, just all of the various things that you would need to know to have arms and have them safely. Also, not only with that, we had elected prayer in our schools. There was prayer and Bible teaching in our schools.
Yes.
So the gun is not the issue. It is a sin issue that we're dealing with. Okay.
Yes.
So when we're talking about guns, we're not, this is, they're not, you know, it's the gun that's in the hand of the person that's in sin. So if we were to get back to our Judeo principles, get back to our godly values by teaching our children from a young age how to reference God, how to allow for the word of God to resonate in their hearts, we won't be having so many issues with folks seemingly having mental problems. And when they say mental problem, you're just demonic. You've already lent your mindset over
you
to the
got
enemy.
It. Absolutely.
And exactly. And that's why you are functioning like that. So I don't believe in all this mental stuff. I believe that's just a worldly term for
yes.
saying, instead of just saying demonic. Okay. Well,
yes.
That's what it is. Let's call it like it is. And so what, that's what we need to get back to. There was a atheist activist. I believe her name was Murray something along the lines of that. She is the one who started, she didn't agree with the prayer in the schools. So what did
Madeline
she do?
Murray,
she made
Madeline
it her
Murray
business.
O'Hara back in 60.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly. She is the one who started out seeking to get prayer out of school, and she made it her business until it got up to the Supreme Court in 62. So us as believers, that we say we're all for prayer in school, we're all, you know, yeah, that's a great idea. Yes, God needs to be in school. What are we doing? Because, see, what motivates me the most is watching these demonic folks put, I mean, everything. They sacrifice time, money, their children, whatever it requires to get our Christian values out of our government, out of our schools, out of our nation. They're willing to do whatever it takes, but where are we? We are asleep at the wheel, but no longer. I truly believe not only just myself, but God's people have risen up all over this country, all over the world, and we're not going to settle it and settle for it any longer.
Amen. That's a statement is a good transition to a question. What are your thoughts about Pride Month?
Well, this is another attack against an eternal covenant that the Lord has with His people. And so, when Pride Month has been established and what have you, that's fine. What we can do is this. This is how I look at it. I have pride in the fact that you're just constantly reminding me of the eternal covenant that I have with my Lord and Savior, that He told me to go and multiply, be fruitful and multiply, and that He would no longer flood this country, flood the people as well as the creatures that are in it. And so, and He hasn't done so. So you're just reminding me constantly of His promise. But what I have a problem with is the enemy does what he does. You always know his hand. He's always going to come against everything that is Christian, everything that is godly. And so, of course, they have various objects that they could have mimicked, but they chose to mess with the rainbow that the Lord gave to His people as a sign of His eternal covenant. And so with that, unlike my opponent, I don't celebrate Pride Month in the way that they have produced it and mandated it for the month of June. But what I do will remind folks is that they need to give their life to the Lord. That's what this is about. So if you are thinking that you can go about life living in the living opposite than what the Lord has purposed your life to be, then you're sadly mistaken, and you need to surrender all.
Absolutely. La Sierra, this is how would you say, a side question also involved in that issue. Pride Week in Jacksonville, where they had the Acosta Bridge in the rainbow colors, where our police officers were paid extra time to go in and protect them as they crossed the bridge in their Pride March. The State Transportation Department authorized it. The local Transportation Department authorized it, and yet it's paid for by taxpayer money. We do not ask them to do so for Christians to have a Easter walk across the bridge or for a Christmas parade across the bridge and special lighting for that. Is there something in your mind that could be done from a state legislative level that would prevent that in the future? Or if you thought about that, or is it something that you would like to investigate and think on that subject? Because each year we wind up with taxpayer money, and I'm sure not just in Jacksonville, but in other cities across the state, that there needs to be some protection of the taxpayers' dollars not going for a licentious lifestyle that's being presented in the gay pride events that's taking place. You can address that if you like, but that's just my question.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So as I'm considering that, you know, we can come from that from various angles. We can discuss and say, listen, unless you acknowledge all holidays, those of that you just mentioned, Christmas, Easter, and have something something that would be not acknowledge, you know, the Christian holidays, don't do none of them. You know what I mean? It's either have them all or
yes,
have none at all. So
that's
we can go from that standpoint. We can then also go here and say, listen, you know, let the people of the state decide if they want to acknowledge that instead of just the folks in office. We need to, there needs to be a vote that says, okay, do we want to acknowledge, you know, various holidays? Again, leaving the decision with the people. And often they like to strip us of our rights and the
yes,
ability to vote and have a voice, but that would be something else I would propose. So,
yes,
again,
La Sierra,
you know,
our time is
yes, sir.
Our
sorry,
time is totally yes, elapsed. We've got about 30 seconds. Would you take these mm-hmm, last 30 seconds, tell the listeners how they can contact you by phone number and email address?
Yes. So my number is 904-413-0530, and you can reach contact me at email votes@lasierramaslin.com.
Very good. La Sierra, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.